All right. I know that we just had you seated with the order of service being all crazy. I do probably want you to stand here in a moment, but if you find your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I know in our bulletin we were in Ephesians, but I would like to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And before I have you stand, I'll just kind of tell you where we're headed tonight. So last year I was praying and getting with the Lord and just considering our church and where we're at as a church family and where God would have us to be and to focus on in 2025. And I knew I wanted to deal with and focus on this year glorying in God. I knew that was the case. I'll say more about that and why that's the case here in a moment. But I really first led straight here to 1 Corinthians 10:31, and this was going to be our theme verse, and it was going to be, do all to the glory of God. And that would have been all right. But then I went to camp, I was talking to Brother Danny Shives. In fact, I think he gave a devotion out of Jeremiah 9, and I was like, that's it. Everything that God was working in my heart and about was right there in Jeremiah 9, and so we went there. And so I'm going to preach both today. Okay, so we did Jeremiah 9 this morning, and we'll be in 1 Corinthians 10. And just stretch your legs one more time if you wouldn't mind. 1 Corinthians 10, and if you want to stand, wouldn't mind to stand. We'll just read this one verse, and we'll pray, and we'll kind of give you the sense and what it means for us. But 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. Paul says this to the church at Corinth. He says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And so the title tonight is this. If you glory in God, you will do all to the glory of God. How's that? Get that, Miss Cindy? Write all that down. She's ready. If you glory in God, you will do all to the glory of God. So let's pray and we'll get into it this afternoon. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. And God, help us, God, to keep our attention directed to you. Forgive us when we don't do that and we get our eyes focused on ourselves or the things of this life and forget your glory. So I pray that you help me to explain this passage tonight, pray that you would be glorified in all we do. Christ and I pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So if you're any kind of Bible reader, and we come to 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, then you probably know this, that Corinth was an absolute mess. They were a mess. Basically, 1 Corinthians is Paul writing to Corinth, telling him, here's all the things you've not done right. 2 Corinthians is written to say, you've done some of them right, but you got some of these other things still wrong. They had a lot of problems. And in chapter 10, we're not going to dig too far into this, but really even a little bit before chapter 10, they were struggling with this thing of eating meat offered to idols, whether they should do that or not. But then also mixed into that was this spirit of contempt between each other, and they were judging one another, and some of them were acting like they were more spiritual than the other, and I can't believe you would eat meat offered to idols and you wouldn't, and they were at each other's throats. And they were struggling in a lot of ways. In fact, if you go ahead and look back to verse 24, just a few verses before, he says this, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. And that's just one of many verses I can take you to where the church was becoming very selfish. And they were coming together and they were fellowshipping. And we'll find out too that they were doing the Lord's Supper even. If you go back to verse 16, it says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And so, and the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And so here's what I'm telling you, is that the church at Corinth was doing all of the things outwardly they should have done, kind of similar to what's going on in Jeremiah. So if you take the idea of what's going on in Jeremiah 9 with Israel and the temple, you take that almost exact scenario and you plop it in a New Testament church, and that's Corinth. They were doing it. They were doing the Lord's Supper. They were having fellowships. They would have meals together. We'll look at that in a second. Just kind of like what we did. They called them agape feasts, and they would come together and fellowship together, and that's good to come together and fellowship and be with each other. It's good, obviously, to do the Lord's Supper and other ordinances that we do. By the way, there were people there, so they probably were doing some kind of outreach and telling people about Christ. But it was all off kilter, and they were struggling in a lot of ways. Chapter 10 dealt with that. Chapter 11 does get into the Lord's Supper. And even in doing the Lord's Supper, they just royally messed that up. And we're not going to get into that right now. And so, if you think about this, and you look at the Church of Corinth, you might ask the question, why? Like, what was the problem? They were doing everything. They were, everything Paul said, you know, presumably, the things that Paul told them to do, they were doing it. I would imagine they came and gathered, and I bet you the word was preached. I bet you the letters. You know, by the way, this letter to Corinth, it would come to Corinth, but then that church would copy that letter and send it to other churches. And other churches did that same thing. The letters that were written to Ephesus and to Philippi and to Colossae, those letters, they were made copies and they were passed along to the churches. And on Sundays, the pastors of the churches would take these letters and they would read them to the congregation. Here's what I'm saying. There was preaching happening there. There were ordinances happening there. There was fellowship happening there. There was reaching people, somehow doing outreach happening there. And so what is the deal? Why was it such a mess? And I think you probably know where I'm headed, but look in our passage, verse 31. He says this, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." See, the church at Corinth was doing a lot of things. I don't think you can be dogmatic about this, but when he says eat or drink, I believe he's talking about the Lord's Supper right there. So you do Lord's Supper, or really whatever you do, it needs to be done to the glory of God. And that was the problem at Corinth. They were doing all of the things the church was supposed to do, but they were not doing it for the glory of God. And they might not have even noticed it at first. And the preaching was probably okay at first. And the fellowship was probably okay at first. And the outreach probably went fine at first. But it doesn't take long before everything begins to crumble and be tainted. And they were, if you get to chapter 11, we're not going to just for sake of time go there. But they were having these feasts and stuff. And it seemed like it was something they would do a lot. But even in their fellowship meals together, where they're supposed to be unified and fellowshipping together, there was all this bitterness and pettiness. Like, some of them would come early to the meal so they didn't have to share. That's what Paul said. They would come on purpose before everybody else, eat their food really fast so there was none left for the rest of their church family. Stuff like that. Petty and just rough. And, you know, they probably tried at it. They probably did these things, put these things in place to try to make the fellowship better. They probably tried to sharpen up the outreach things they were doing and sharpen up even the preaching. And the preacher might even put more work into the study. But it wasn't working. And I believe the key is that they were not doing it to the glory of God. And so I was considering that, and I was considering our church. And if you remember, 2 years ago, our theme was continue steadfastly. Do you remember that? And it was out of Acts 2:41, and the idea was the church at Jerusalem, that very first church, they would continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayer, right? And what we focused on that year was fellowship together. And we started things we started ladies fellowships, and we already had men's breakfast, and we put a little bit more into those, and we really thought about our fellowship Sundays. And then we've talked a lot about breaking bread, right? And fellowshipping together in each other's homes. And that year we focused on being a church family, right? We're a church family. We're a family of families. And we should, that first church in Jerusalem, they went to each other's houses, and they were familiar with each other's homes, and that's how we should be. We need to let each other into our life, because this isn't a lecture hall where we come to hear lectures on who God is. This is a church family, an assembly of people who come together And we're more than just students together. We're a family, right? We're a church family. And I believe that God worked that year. And I believe that relationships were formed that year. And I saw the way that you guys responded to that and started to love on one another and become unified, and that was a blessing. And then last year, we focused on outreach and reaching the lost, because there's a danger that we can become so inwardly focused and so excited about our relationships together that we don't go and reach more people. And so we did that. And I believe last year we caught that vision and we started walk-a-blocks more and all these different things. But there's a danger that we can do all of the right things and we can do it for the wrong reason. And we could be thinking we're doing very well as a church because we're close and we have good family friendships with each other and we minister to one another and we love one another. And we could be thinking we're doing right because we're doing the walk-a-block thing and we're doing the parades and we're working the field and we're doing the Bible study thing. But it's a waste. It's a waste if we're not growing in God. This isn't meant for us just to have good godly friends, this thing we're doing. This isn't really meant primarily just to reach lost people. This isn't primarily even just to change your life and make you a better person. This is primarily about God. And as we develop relationships and as we continue steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer, as we do that, we should do it to the glory of God, right? And so as we get closer together, we're doing that because we want to glorify God. As we reach the lost, as we do walk a block, as we do outreach, as we do these Bible studies that we're talking about and developing gospel relationships with the lost, we need to remember that the reason we're doing that is for the glory of God. Because it doesn't matter how hard we try, if we're not doing it for that reason, it's going to eventually blow up and we'll be cornered. And it won't take long. You see? And so it should all be done for the glory of God. So the question is, how do we get to that place? How do we get to where everything we do is truly in our heart for the glory of God? There's only one way. We've got to fall in love with Him. We've got to make Him, God's a person. It's kind of basic, but it's fundamental. We're not just doing a religion. God is not a system. He's not a force. He's not exercises and rituals. He is a person. And we're serving Him. And we're doing all of this for Him. Not for ourselves to better our life, although He will better our life. Not primarily for each other, although He'll help us serve each other. But this is all about Him. We have to keep that focus. Amen? And even this dessert auction thing, it's all done to the glory of God. As you take that calendar, and I hope you got that calendar, and as you look at all of the events that are happening, we're not doing those just to fill calendar slots. We're not doing that just because that's what we've always done. We're not doing that because this is what churches do. We're doing it for the glory of God. For the glory of God. So let's read it one more time, verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. That's what we're all about, Evaluating the Baptist Church. Amen. So catch that vision. And if that's going to happen, we all need to be involved with that. And we all have to have that right spirit and that right vision. And you know what happens is funny, because, you know, I believe that Corinth probably put all this stuff in place because they wanted fellowship with each other. And it's funny because if we glory, pause for a second, if we glory in fellowshipping one with another, you say, Pastor, that's a good thing. I know, but it doesn't deserve glory, remember? We don't glory in that. We don't glory in our church family. We glory in God. But if we glory in our church family, and make each other's, our friendship with each other the primary thing, and neglect God, it won't be long before we're at each other's throats. Right? If we glory in reaching the lost, We don't glory in reaching the lost. We glory in God, and He loves the lost. But if we become a church that glories in reaching the lost, and we aren't concerned anymore with God's glory, it won't be long before we're watered down and we won't be effective in reaching people. You see? We glory in God, and then we let Him take care of all of that. Let's pray. We'll have the time of temptation. God, thank you for who you are. God, thank you that we get to serve you. Thank you that this isn't just an empty ritual and religion, but it's a place where we can come and worship a living God who hears us, who knows us, who loves us. And we're so high and holy, and we're so thankful that we get to serve you, we get to worship you. Help us, God, to do all for your glory. Help us to love one another, to do it for your glory. Help us to reach the lost, to do it for your glory. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us in here would individually make that commitment to all for the glory of God. Jesus, and I pray, amen. We're going to have a quick time of invitation if you wouldn't mind to stand. And if God's worked in your heart that way, now would be a good time to respond. And I know this morning it was a very similar message, but don't leave this room not having decided my life is for God's glory. If we all do that, our church will glory in God. Our church will do all to the glory of God. But it takes all of us.